Lou Engle says that when you're called to prayer, you have to find a core of people to surround yourself with that will keep you burning for prayer.
You've got to find a company of believers. I got to be among a people who are praying. They have faith. They fuel one another with revelation.
Lou Engle is joining us this week to talk about the power of prayer. This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Welcome once again to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Always great to have you joined by
Becky Johnson.
And I am Banny Leibscher, the director of Jesus Culture, lead pastor at Jesus Culture Sacramento, and the youth pastor
of Jesus Culture Sacramento.
Which, interestingly enough, we're going to get to some surveys in a little bit, and they talked about some stuff, but yes. Some of the surveys said they wanted to hear more about your youth pastor journey.
They actually enjoy you making fun of me.
Which is what it is, which we can talk more about that. I find great enjoyment, and I've actually heard it same thing with grandparents. As grandparents watch their kids try to parent their children and their children and their grandchildren are putting their kids to the same thing they did. They said they find great satisfaction in it. So it's a similar situation. I find great satisfaction.
So when I say, this kid crunched a water bottle the entire time I preached, you just laugh.
I remember your chip story. I feel greatly satisfied in my heart for some random reason. Well, listen, this podcast, we are actually going to be talking about prayer. We're going to take the next few podcasts and jump into the topic of prayer just to try to really encourage you, ignite you, equip you around the issue of prayer. And we're going to be talking to probably the most influential person in my life that's affected me.
Besides me.
Besides you. Spoiler alert, it's Becky. But we're going to be talking to the most influential person for me that's affected my life in prayer. So we're going to be able to jump into that. But we did do surveys. We got great feedback from a lot of people. Heard some really encouraging stuff.
They love authentic you.
Yes, and there's another thing. They love authentic you. There was one that said they liked mine better than my wife's.
He's probably paid you.
But authentic you. So my wife, CJ, has a podcast for women called Authentic You. It's actually part of this podcast, which we are going to be making some changes as well, just to put another teaser out there.
Absolutely.
In the next few months, you'll be seeing some changes in different format and how we're doing things and different types of podcasts. We're officially going to kind of have a podcast network or a podcast family, a podcast community.
Which, I mean, not like we're trying to copy Relevant Podcast Network anything.
No, not at all. In fact, I think Cameron probably stole some of this in the conversation with me. But yeah, we're going to be actually presenting a few more podcasts.
That you'll have to subscribe to outside of this. But it's going to be good stuff. Authentic You will be graduating to its own podcast because, I mean, CJ's killing it. She's killing it. She's in high demand.
Yes.
And she's graduated to her own.
I was in England. Girl walked up to me and said, I love Authentic You. It's what I wait for. I wish they would do more. I'm waiting for it. And they've done like two of them. Oh. I'm like, first of all, there's only been two, okay? So you can't judge it off of two. Let's let this thing go for 5 years and then see how it goes.
That's funny.
But yes, so lots of good stuff coming up. In fact, we've been spending quite a bit of time, not just working on some podcast stuff that we're going to be getting out there to you. Again, our heart is to come alongside you, encourage you, strengthen you, be your biggest cheerleader, as well as challenge and equip you, and hopefully inspire you both to live fully for Christ and then to go lead and be effective. Mm-hmm. So as we're kind of looking into 2018 and making some changes, as well as really starting to engage some other things, we are very much going after some conference stuff. We have a conference coming up with some really great stuff. There's actually a lot of new stuff that's going to be happening at our conference that hasn't happened before here in Sacramento. So we'll be doing our conference in Sacramento. You should come hang out with us. It's going to be amazing. Lisa Bevere will be with us. Bill Johnson will be with us. Rebecca Lyons will be with us. Sean Bowles will be with us. I will be with us.
You will be with us. So grateful.
And we've got some great stuff we're planning to really just help people engage and navigate culture and to really kind of capitalize on the cultural moment that we're in as believers. Yeah. So we're going to be doing that. I've had more and more a heart just to kind of help people. So many people, I think, have a heart to engage what's happening in society to make a difference, but aren't quite sure how to do that,
yeah,
both from a biblical standpoint and from just a practical standpoint. So we want to really begin to equip people, not only in the areas of the supernatural presence of God, all the prophetic things like that, that we want people to be able to move in, but also just practically, let's talk through some of these issues. So we're going to be doing that. And then Manchester, same thing. We're going to be going to Manchester in March.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for all of our listeners
in both cities,
we want you to be connected and involved in the, and I really do mean this. Every time somebody comes up and says they listen to the podcast, I feel like they're a little part of our family.
Absolutely.
But we actually want to get you more connected with the conference. So we're going to be.
Yeah. So we are reserving a chunk of seats. We've got 52 seats because we have 52 listeners. Guys, that's just a joke. Totally
we still joke. Periodically have people come up and are like, hey, just you're going to get more than 52. I promise you get more than 52. I don't know if they know self-deprecating American humor.
Yes.
That just makes fun of ourselves
totally.
That we have 52 listeners.
We have more, but we often say if you're an OG listener, you're one of the 52. And so we thought it would be cute. To have 52 seats at the conference that you get to come sit at. So we're reserving seats for you. So if you go to encounter18.com and you register for either Sacramento or Manchester with the code JCPodcast, you will get one of those special seats. And Bannon, you're going to sit in those 52 seats too, right? You're going to be there shaking
no,
hands.
No, but I'm going to go give a bunch of, I'm going to give 52 high fives.
52 selfies.
Nobody wants a selfie with me.
No, that's not true.
I can promise a selfie with Kim. No, I cannot. 52 selfies, 52 high fives, 52 hugs.
We do love meeting our listeners. I was just in a church in Novato. You know the church.
North Bay.
Yep. So we were there and like their staff, they're like, hey, we're part of the 52. We listen as a staff and they love it. So they've been listening for a long time. So if you register with the code JCPodcast at encounter18.com for either Sacramento or Manchester, if you're across the pond, we'll have some seats for you.
Well, we're excited this month to be able to jump into the issue of prayer, the topic of prayer, something that we've covered before on the podcast over the years, but something that I just want to continue to come back to.
And our other guests coming, Dave Perkins and Brian Kim, yep, will be on in the coming, yep, weeks. And
two of our great friends. Brian Kim was actually on staff at IHOP in Kansas City, which is International House of Prayer, not pancakes, International House of Prayer. He was out there on staff, senior staff for them for years, and now he's running a mission organization. Another good friend of mine who just planted a church in Kansas City named David Perkins, has been very involved in prayer, has a real heart to see the church really engaged in prayer and moving in that. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people, even listening to this podcast, most people would be like, yes, I want to pray. Yes, I believe it's important to pray, both in a personal devotion way and also in kind of shifting things. And it's important to pray for our nation. And this is part of it for me. It's very intriguing that, again, this is going to sound so negative, and I do it too, so I'm not just pointing at people. But sometimes I think we post a bunch of stuff like, pray for Houston, pray yeah, for Florida, pray for this. And I'm like, it's good, you know? I'm not really sure people are engaging in prayer though.
Yeah.
And I think that it has to go beyond a hashtag for us. It has to go beyond a post. And I think those posts are important because it just shows, hey, we're standing with you. And I get it. We throw the word prayer around a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think there is a deeper level of the Christian life that just says, no, I'm actually going to pray. I'm going to engage in prayer on this. And I think most people would say, yes, that's important, but I don't know how to do it, or I don't maybe feel motivated, or is it really that important, or does it really work?
Yeah.
You know, it's all that type of stuff. And so I think that's why it's so important that we just keep going after this issue.
Absolutely. I think too, and this could just be teenagers and my youth pastorness speaking, but people kind of, I think the church maybe painted a picture of prayer that's laborious and intense and difficult and long-winded, but that's not actually, there's a great joy in prayer and in a life of prayer. And I'm excited for our guests who will just kind of, yes, shed a light on that. And I think, you know, we as a church should redefine what prayer looks like. This is not, you know, it's not a burdensome task to take to,
yes,
but it is our yeah, we get to engage with God.
Yeah, at some level, that's why intimacy is so important. That's, yeah, why Jesus was consistently talking about the Father when it comes to prayer, because,
yeah,
prayer is a great joy because it's a relationship. It's, mm-hmm, it's actually, it's alive and it's real and it's interactive.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. So we're gonna dive into that. Before that, Bannon, I have good news. We have a winner, survey winner. So we did this podcast survey. I don't know if you can still take it. you can still take it, but you won't get a prize. So
then what's the reason for taking it?
So because you love us. We have a winner to announce. So this we picked at random. She's a female between 25 and 35 years old. She's been listening for 1 to 2 years. That's it. We didn't pick somebody
who's
been listening.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, if you're still with us after that time, you're in.
And it says she listens consistently 2 to 4 times a month.
There we go. There you go. Well done.
I was shocked. We had an option on the survey, how often do you listen? Once a month. And I was shocked at the, like, I couldn't, it's like you have to listen to every single one. So they're just listening to one of the Kit Kats, just one of them.
I know. Well, yeah, I guess. It's not like it's not like a building story of it, like a sitcom or a drama on TV.
Did you
like,
miss what happened last week?
If you miss one, like I think you can miss one on ours and still kind of be fine.
It's me. It's my structure if I'm going to listen to a podcast, I
wouldn't skip chapters. I wouldn't skip pages. I wouldn't. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't go 1, 4,
yeah,
7.
So, Daniela Samusi, if I say that right. Samusi. Daniela, she wins and she's getting a really good package here. I won't go into everything, but it's like a huge Jesus Culture swag bag full of gear and albums and
I'm sure my book's
rooted,
in there.
Yes.
Yeah, my book better be in there.
You should sign it. We'll sign it for you. I'll sign it for you.
For the listener who listens every once in a while.
She works in the medical science field. That's
fantastic.
Cool. And she's been really encouraged
by
the podcast.
She's smarter than I am.
Absolutely. So we'll send you that. So congratulations, Daniela, on that. And if you'd still like to take the survey, you can do that at jesusculture.com/podcast survey, but you won't be entered to win a prize. So it's just going to be on your own goodwill.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're a motivated listener
exactly.
who loves to help.
If we've developed you at all as a leader, you will take
loves
that survey.
To help. Hey, well, listen, there's a few things we're going to do before we jump into our interview about prayer. So check it out.
Hey, Becky and Banning. This is Kelly from Red Deer, Alberta. Been listening to your podcast for about a month now. And Becky, I just have to say, you are definitely my alarm clock sister. I love your banter. Totally could relate. I fall asleep during my, like, I do not wake up with my alarm all the time. And I have these great dreams of being someone who wakes up at 5:30 in the morning before her kids and reads the Bible and exercises and get all the things out of the way before 7 o'clock a.m. And it's just not going to happen. My husband thinks that I'm crazy. And anyway, at least I have a nice sounding alarm, so that's good. But I love your podcast. Love the way you guys talk with each other. Really been getting a lot out of the Leadership Podcast this month. I listen to it while I'm folding the laundry or cleaning the dishes. And yeah, it's just been really refreshing and convicting and inspiring. I know I'm called to be a leader, but in this season of raising children, it's manifested in a different way, and I'm okay with that. But it's definitely putting a lot of things in my heart for the future, and even now as I lead my children and interact with other neighbors and mothers around me. So thanks, guys, for all you do. See you later.
Well, thanks again for joining us on the podcast. For all of you out there, as I mentioned, I was able to sit down and am here with a man that's been a great influence and encouragement to me. Greatly shaped my spiritual formation in life, and as well has very much been one of the key catalysts to my heart and passion for prayer, and have been able to walk with him and run with him for a lot of years. So it's really great to have Lou Engel with us on the call right now. Lou, thanks for joining us on the podcast and taking a few minutes.
Well, I love you, Banning. I'm so glad to be with you. I do anything with you, Banning, and I hope it can be an encouragement to your listeners.
Lou, I want to take just a second, and we're going to talk just about the topic of prayer, but just to give a little bit of context for you, you run an organization called The Call. You've been doing these large stadiums and arenas and different gatherings, but you started out just as a person of prayer and then in just a prayer room. Can you give just a quick context of, you're filling stadiums right now, but your kind of prayer life started as a young man just in rooms and in prayer rooms.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, my lifeline has been early morning prayer. I got saved at age 22, and the earliest time I started praying, I just, you know, I read that scripture. Could you not pray for with me for 1 hour? So I just determined I didn't understand the Bible. Nobody taught me to pray, but I just figured, well, I got to do 1 hour. So I'd wake up every morning at 6 o'clock and I would pray for this person and that person. I didn't know what I was doing, but that became my devotional habit. And literally over the years, my main trysting place with God has been early morning prayer. Get in my van, turn my CD on, have coffee and, yes, sometimes donuts.
Donuts are legal. Donuts are absolutely legal. They will be in heaven.
Listen, feed the flesh, feed the spirit. And literally, I forged my walk in God in early morning prayer. So I get up early in the morning, go to the 7-Eleven. I think I was up 4:30 one morning for the 7-Eleven. I was just rocking and wailing in intercession. I was caught away at the knock on the window. I roll the window down, look in the rearview mirror, and there's two huge fire trucks behind me flashing their lights. And I look at this guy, and he's, you know, the paramedic, and he says, "We have received a report that somebody in this van is having a seizure." I was rocking so hard. So now I can say the place where I prayed was shaking. So then I did it one other time. I was in front of a coffee shop, rolled away, and someone knocked on my window. I opened the window, and the lady's looking at me. She said, "I know who you are. You're Lou Engel, and you're praying." And she gave me a $100 bill.
Oh, gosh. That's fantastic.
So it pays to pray in the early morning. That's the habit of Jesus. Isaiah 50, he wakens me morning by morning like one being taught. He opens my ear. And that's been my journey, you know, crucify your nightlife and find God in the morning.
I love it. I love it. Well, let me just jump in and talk about, we live in an interesting time right now where there's a lot of movement happening culturally, in society, within the church, outside the church, and much of it good, much of it in turmoil. And I think a lot of people have a heart to engage this stuff. They're like, "I want to be a part of the solution. I want to kind of give myself to seeing these things solved or shifted or changed where unrighteousness is, where there's injustice happening." But one of the concerns that I've had a little bit is that we have strategies that we're forming, and I believe deeply in those. But we've missed a little bit that if we don't win the war in the heavens, it won't manifest in the earth. And that you can have as good of a strategy as you want, but that we actually don't battle against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. One of the stories that you've told and one of the things that I've learned from you is that you have to engage and take authority in the heavens and win that battle if you're going to see things manifest on earth. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because one of the things I want to draw people into is you absolutely need to walk this thing out with your feet and the natural, engage, but there's got to be an element where you are really handling the business in the heavens.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is a great question. The fact is, we're holding a gathering with women on the mall. This Esther gathering coming up. But it's stunning to me that Esther fasts 3 days and seemingly gets a victory and divine strategy that comes from heaven before she petitions the king. You can't just fast and then not petition the king. You got to put feet to your prayers and petition the king to bring justice to the earth. But until you've done the realm of Esther's fast and the spiritual warfare in the heavens, you are not touching the source of things. Politics kind of stuff, even good works on the ground, if not, are actually the fruit of breakthroughs in the heavens. Years ago, Banning, the Lord spoke to me. No one's targeting false ideologies with massive fasting and prayer. It's been the journey of my life. No one's targeting false ideologies with massive fasting and prayer. When you fast, when you pray, when you target these things in the heavenly realm, you're targeting the source from which everything on earth manifests. So earth manifests what's going on in heaven. It's why you say, I pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You've got to touch heaven if you're going to touch earth. And so that's why we have called for united prayer and fasting for the last 25 years of my life. It is about touching the heavenly realm so that earth can open up. And so that's kind of our journey. Years ago, the Lord gathered 70 kids to pray and fast for the ending of abortion. And I said to them from Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel fasts 21 days, archangels are warring with his prayers going on. And then it releases a political king, Cyrus, to release the decree to let the people go home out of Babylon and to build the house of God in Jerusalem. I said to those kids, the future of abortion is in your hands, and even the elections, you must win the battle of the heavens. I said, you are the RAF, the Royal Air Force, those guys that won the battle over in the Air Force of Britain that held back the German Air Force, and because of it, the war was turned. I said, you are the RAF. It will be said of you like Churchill said of the RAF, never has so much been owed by so many to so few. You know the story. And on the 47th night, a man came and preached, knew nothing. And at the end of his message, he prophesied and said, you are the RAF. Never has so much been owed by so many to so few. Out of that came a Bound for Life movement. We put our feet on the ground and literally, I believe, in the next 3 years, we are going to see, by the grace of God and much prayer and activism, we are going to see a shift in Roe v. Wade will be no more. And God is going to call the church to adopt babies like she never has. It all started with 50 days and nights breaking through in the heavens. We have to live this way in every area of our lives.
And I think practically as well, as people are listening, again, your mandate has been to call the church as a body of Christ, as a large gatherings, but even people in their cities, on their campuses, in their neighborhoods, at their workplaces, beginning to gather with people and say, we are going to give ourselves to prayer to go after some of this stuff in the heavenlies. I think that...
Absolutely. You know, Daniel is in the University of Babylon, and he's got four guys together,
yeah,
and they're friends, and their prayers literally loose dreams and shift the whole ideology of an Antichrist Nebuchadnezzar. Just four guys in a university. This is what I built my life on, small prayer groups for years, winning battles, and even individually. You know the story. I lost my son Josiah's heart as a 14-year-old, and I went into 31 days of prayer and fasting. I'm not saying you have to do that. And after 31 days, all the witnessing that I wanted to do, could have done, he wouldn't have listened to me. But what happened is on the 31st day, he starts getting dreams. God begins to visit him. I believe I broke something over him spiritually so that heaven could loose an awakening on his life, and it began the turning point of me finding my son's heart again. This is his way. This is God's way.
I love that. Talk to me a little bit about Daniel. You've said the phrase before, years ago, that Daniel lived above Babylon. That stuck with me for years because right now I feel that so many people in society are engaging things, but there's a storm happening, and it's like they're getting seasick. They're getting nauseous. They're getting overwhelmed. They're getting seasick because they're not living a life of prayer that puts them up above Babylon. Can you talk to me about that phrase that Daniel lived above Babylon?
Yes. You know, Daniel chapter 1 is really a defining chapter. He's a young man. He's a teenager, and he sets himself that he will not defile himself with the king's rich food. He drew a line. He consecrated himself. And therefore, he was basically saying, I will not let Babylon influence me. I will influence Babylon. He goes and starts a Daniel fast with his friends. We don't know how long he carried on that fast. And in his fasting, he starts getting dreams, interpretation of dreams, supernatural wisdom. He becomes 10 times better than all the psychics of the Union and becomes basically the guy that disciples the psychics in God revelation. This is what I've said. For 70 years, Daniel, by the Spirit ruled over Babylon, because this is the deal. You can't bind what binds you. Spiritual darkness. If you are under the powers, you can't bind the powers. If you are under a bondage of addiction, you can't bind that spirit of addiction. So what I've always said is that Daniel lived in Babylon, but Babylon didn't live in him. He was experientially walking, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and had authority over the demonic powers. That's why it says in the last verse of the book of Daniel, chapter 1, and he remained there for 70 years. Daniel remained when kings went and come. He dominated the atmosphere as a holy young man, and up to his 80s, he's moving angels and demons. And so it's important, really it's important to me, we get a whole generation that wants to make flippant decrees when they haven't actually gotten the victory in the spirit realm, so that they have authority to release the decrees. Let me just say this. Years ago, when we were in Berkeley, fasted and prayed many days, we felt like we got a place of authority during that day at Berkeley to rebuke Ebola. It was ravaging North Africa. And because we had thought we had stepped into a place of authority in the spirit realm with preparation, we rebuked Ebola on that stage. A month later, we look at it, and on the very day we rebuked it, on that very 3 days in that air, Ebola fell 70% and then disappeared. I believe the church is going to get up into a place over in these days. We're not just praying prayers. We're living in a place in deep intimacy with God. God gives the word. We release a decree. And because we've sacrificed, we've walked the cross route, identified with those who are suffering, God says, it's time. We release a word of authority, and we're going to see breakthroughs like we've never seen. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
That's kind of the way I'm trying to do it.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, listen, before I let you go, one last question. I think a lot of people, they either don't pray or they pray half-hearted prayers because either one, they don't understand the power in their prayer. They don't really believe that they can make a difference. They're overwhelmed by what's in front of them. And so therefore they don't pray. Or two, they've lost heart and they've lost hope. So Jesus talks about, you know, he tells a story so that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So losing heart, or what I would say, losing hope, like I just don't have hope for this anymore, or just being overwhelmed with what's in front of them, both of those kind of make people back off of prayer. What would your encouragement be to people that either feel overwhelmed with the task ahead of them or the need, or have lost heart or lost hope in the midst of their journey?
Well, that is such a superb, incredible question, because I faced those times in my own life. First of all, I believe it is critical for motivated prayer to have a word from God, a prophetic vision that is stronger than all the statistics and failures and all the bad stuff going on. Caleb went into the wilderness and he spied out the promised land and he saw what was there. So when he came back into the wilderness, when everyone was wilting and wandering in the wilderness, he was living in the promised land. A person must continually stay alive by remembering his dreams, by praying his dreams, the prophecies, and the scriptures. That will keep people alive. That's what keeps prayer passionate. The prophetic injection of hope comes when we dream a dream, we get a word from the Lord, and it keeps us burning. And God is faithful to ever fuel the prophetic. If we get jaded on the prophetic, we will live a neutered, mediocre Christian life, jaded, having no faith. And this is the challenge, because the whole generation's even heard the prophetic, but because they said, well, it didn't happen the way they thought it would happen, they actually give up, and they basically give up on prophecy. Because I say, prophecy has fueled my life for 44 years. And you say, well, Lou, what if you don't see it? Well, I am going to stay with this, the promises of God. And if I don't see it, my kids will, but I refuse to be jaded. Number two, when I lose my fire, when I lose my passion, the Bible is very clear. Return to me with all your heart with fasting. that fasting, when you shut down that flesh, man, you are actually allowing God to give you fresh bread from heaven. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You cannot live without a fresh word from God. And so that's why in fasting, you make your life a landing strip for a fresh word from God that creates the fire of motivation in your prayers. Thirdly, you've got to find a company of believers who you're meeting with in prayer. When I'm with people that are negative, I got to get out of there. I got to be among a people who are praying. They have faith. They fuel one another with revelation. The word of God lives within them. Those three things, a prophetic anointing, believing the prophecies, keeping alive, fasting, and finding your core of people, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will keep you burning together. Those three things have helped fuel my prayer life.
Hmm. Well, Lou, I sure appreciate you taking time to just sit down and talk to us about prayer. If you just take just a second and pray over all those listening right now, and I was 23 years old when I first heard you preach on being an intercessor and on prayer, and just went forward, and you prayed a prayer, and it changed everything for me. And I really believe that there's a grace on your life that can get on other people as well. So would you just take just a second and pray for all those listening that God would ignite that passion to pray in them?
Yes. Father, I want to thank you for banning my dear friend. Thank you for Jesus culture and how it's framed the future of the nation and nations. I want to thank for all those that are listening right now to this podcast. And I want to pray for something that wherever I've gone, I do it. And something begins to happen in people. I want to pray. I pray for those listening, a spirit of revelation would explode in their lives that ignites faith for the future. I ask loose dreams on them, Lord, loose breakthroughs, revelation in the scriptures that bring hope into their lives so that they could speak forth in prayer and frame their futures. Right now, loose those dreams. I want those who are listening to dare to believe in the next weeks, God is going to invade your life and create faith, give you a future, a welfare future, a hope that causes you to pray it into being in Jesus' name. And Father, I do pray what's been on my life for years. I pray for the grace of fasting, that you would bring them into days when they seek you and all the world falls off and heaven becomes real. Draw them with cords of love that can't be broken in Jesus' name. I pray, raise up intercessors. Intercessors for universities, for schools. Lay burdens on their life that cannot be shaken. In Jesus' name, raise up intercessors that change the future of the world. I bless you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Lou. Lou, you've got a big gathering coming up on the mall. Can you give us just quick information about that and where they can go to find information?
Yeah, go to riseup2017.org. And 3 days before that, 3 days of day and night worship on the mall in D.C., the 6th through the 8th, and then the 9th is women's gathering, bring your children, but Awaken the Dawn, those 3 days preceding, you can go to awakenthedawn.org. I believe it's going to be 4 days that change history in America. Thanks, Ben.
Well, we'll make sure to have all that on the website and all the links. So, Lou, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Podcast listeners, we want to see you at our Jesus Culture Encounter Conference in 2018. We are reserving 52 special seats just for you. Come hang out with us in Manchester, UK, or in Sacramento, California. Register at encounter18.com with the code JCPODCAST, and you'll get some VIP attention, plus special reserved seating just for you, our podcast family. Again, register at encounter18.com with the code JCPODCAST.
Thank you all so much for listening. This was week one of three on prayer with Lou, an amazing interview. We love Lou. Next week, we'll have another great discussion and interview on prayer. So make sure you tune in. As always, we love hanging out with you guys. Leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps us out. Look for Authentic You. That'll be coming to its own podcast very soon. And make sure you subscribe to that if that's something that you listen to, which you should. And it's amazing. Don't forget to register for the conference, encounter18.com with the code JCPODCAST to get one of those special 52 seats. They will be pre-warmed. I'll sit in each one of them.
With a water bottle.
Yes, absolutely.
Somebody that fans you the whole time.
Towel.
A moist towelette. They're towelettes.
Yeah, towelettes, absolutely. It's going to be
It'll be like flying first class.
An amazing experience.
There'll be a little warm thing of nuts. Yep. There will be a towelette.
It's going to be like nosebleed seats, floor,
it's
popcorn.
It's the overflow room. No way. It's going to be awesome. We take care of our people.
Absolutely.
We take care of you.
We hope to see you in Sacramento or Manchester. And we will catch you guys next week.
Like thunder, speaking from the clouds, your word is always going out. You whisper, I keep following the sound into your presence. I get caught up, shadows left behind. I get caught up, drawn into your light. I get caught up where spirit is alive, into your presence like a child.